And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you can spend part of your day with us. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo contact to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. You can also chime in via Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to your questions. We'll get to your comments along the way on the program. OTA is resuming today. They're currently out there practicing. Ben McAdoo and some of the players will speak to the media a little bit later on. We will update you on that. Everything, though, will be archived eventually up on Giants.com. In terms of some of the observations on practice, let's get into that first, and then obviously we'll hear from the fans weighing in. A few things that jumped out to me from watching practice: Matt Lacoste was working as the first team tight end, made a number of good grabs, gaining some chemistry there with Eli Manning, had a grab on Landon Collins that was pretty sweet up the right sideline. And then B.J. Goodson had a tipped interception off the left side of the field where he was sort of juggling the ball, got a piece of it, and then controlled his
body
weight.
Play of the day so far, right?
Absolutely. That was certainly the standout play. I think Lacoste was not too far from behind.
I think, one, if of course Giants fans are following all the media that are out there, and I know a ton of photographs have been posted and even video of Victor Cruz working with the trainers on the side and really going all out with his sprints. He's wearing these like very cool bright orange shoes, but also doing some resistance training. So this is very, very impressive in regard to what we're seeing today with Victor Cruz. This is the hardest, at least I've seen him work since, of course, this season. And I'm feeling, based on what we're seeing today, I think he's pretty ready to get back out there as soon as possible. He's looked good.
It's another step in the progress, but, you know, they made it very clear, specifically McAdoo, they're not going to put them out with physical contact until at least training camp, and he's pretty much following the routine. He's always been doing work on the side. He's just not taking part in team drills. Orleans Darko was also limited when he was dealing with an injury. That's nothing new in terms of the Giants' philosophy. Sterling Shepard made a number of catches, speaking of the receiving core. You know, he's continuing to get more and more acclimated to this offense, which is nice to see. And then in terms of the secondary, a lot of movement still with the safeties, which we saw last year in training camp. So nothing's different there. Burhey and Landon Collins started out in the early few OTAs as the two starters. Today we saw a little bit more of Darian Thompson with the first team. However, Thompson's also been used in the slot as the number one slot corner. So they're really continuing to mix and match types of players.
Well, today Wade actually started as the first team slot corner. And right now I just got a text from Paul Dottino because they're still practicing as we're hosting the show. Paul said right now Eli Apple is first team left corner right now, so he's getting some time at the left corner position. So this is the time to do it, right? This is the time to kind of feel out, you know, who you've got at camp, what they can do, how much have they learned. It's a process, but it's definitely fun. It's a beautiful day outside for football, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the weather has drastically changed.
We should be doing the show outside. That's how nice it is outside.
I'll take the comfort of the studio, which is a little bit cooler compared to what the players have to deal with. But the weather has certainly been cooperating for the first few OTAs. Though there was one day of rain, they moved inside. But for the most part, it has been nice.
Also, a few other things. Whitlock working with the backs. I know that's been a hot topic of conversation here in regard to what his role will be, trying to make a roster, a spot on this team. And also, the field was shortened today. They only practiced on an 80-yard field. And I'm sure that Dan Graziano actually tweeted that out. I'm sure that will be a question that will be asked. Ben McAdoo will address the media after practice. Practice ends at 12:15. Ben McAdoo will address the media, and I'm sure that will be one of the questions that will be asked.
Let's open up the phone lines here on Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll also get to your tweets. Dre is in Atlanta. He gets us going. Dre, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? Hey, Anita. How's it going?
Hi.
Doing well, Dre. What do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I applaud you two, especially Anita, and with the optimism, I'm optimistic just like you. This is May. You know, the offensive line was bad last year, but wasn't as bad as, you know, Charlie is making it out to be. It's not doom or gloom. It's May. Time to panic is somewhere around towards the end of August, and we still have the same right side. Maybe then you could panic, but not right now, especially when other teams really don't know what they have, and you haven't had any real cuts. So I'm not going to sit down there and say that we're doomed if we go into this season with the same offensive line we did last year, because, to be honest with you, towards the tail end of the season, they actually gelled and started doing some good things, especially opening up the run game on the right side. So I won't say everything's doom and gloom, you know, but the bottom line is I think it's a little way too early to panic. I think it's way too early to think that, you know, Jerry Reese isn't doing his due diligence. Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm a friend of a lot of current NFL players and retired NFL players, and I'm going to tell you, if they don't want to play in this city, there's nothing you can do. You can call, you can blow the agent's phone up, and he's not going to take the call. If they do not want to play for the Giants, they're not going to come to the Giants. So, you know, a lot of times if you hear silent, it's because they're not answering the phone. It's not because the team is not making the phone call. And as fans, we have to understand that you have to watch. Now, because I'm a fan, I think the Giants is the best organization out there out of the 32 teams. But every other player doesn't see that, and you have to understand that. Just understand that right now our defense looks a hell of a lot better than it did last year, and our offense can only get better in the third year of this system. Lighten up, and let's have some faith in what you have. Stop looking at the bad things and start, you know, embracing what we do have, and start, you know, encouraging these players to play above the X's and O's on both sides of the ball, on all three facets of the game, and trust me, we'll be back in the ball. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Dre, for the call.
Appreciate the call.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm entering my seventh year covering the Giants, and only one time did I hear a player hesitant to come to the Giants, and that was the offensive lineman that the Cowboys took.
Lyle Collins, you're talking about?
Yes.
The undrafted free agent.
Yes, and it was because of the weather. He didn't want to play in cold weather. So, I mean, that's like, I've never.
Well,
I'm sure there's
other stories. We just don't necessarily know them publicly.
I'm just saying, I've never heard a player not want to come to the Giants for anything. And it was just once, and it was because of weather.
Well, there's also position where they may want to line you up. I mean, there's so many factors that come into play, you know, why players choose specific teams, where their family lives. It's impossible to narrow it down to one thing, but not everything is reported. Not everything's out there. So just because a team doesn't necessarily bring in 15 offensive linemen doesn't mean that they didn't necessarily have conversations and go after them, which is what we discussed at great length yesterday. You can't just go by the fact that, well, they're not coming here, so that means that nobody's actually doing some homework.
No, that's a little misleading. No, I get that. The point I'm just trying to make is that, you know, the Giants, this organization is so well respected in around the league that, you know, there's very few guys that don't want to come here. I mean, you're right. Weather being one of them, position situation being another, you know, whether it's, you know, they want an offensive lineman to play right tackle and he doesn't, he wants to play left tackle, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I mean, listen, there's some teams out there that players do not want to play for. And for a number of more serious reasons. And you just don't hear that with the Giants.
Well, and the other thing, Dre, the last caller, was talking about, you know, if you get towards training camp and the offensive line is still the same on the right side, you know, maybe then it's time to hit the panic button. But once again, there's a new offensive line coach. There's a whole new set of workouts. It's a different offseason program. What they may see on film during these offseason workouts could be drastically different from what they saw at one point last season. It's way too early to speculate from that degree. So, I mean, I don't necessarily, you could put down a date and say, you know, if there's not any new players in the mix or there's not movement, then that means that's going to be a sign of what's yet to come. I think when you have a new voice from a coaching perspective, sometimes they look at it through a different lens. And Mike Solari, I'm referring to as the new offensive line coach, he hasn't worked with any of these guys. So he's giving you a different glimpse compared to what some of the other previous coaches have seen over the last few years, or at least last season specifically, when they use this alignment. So that's another dynamic to at least take into consideration. Let's head back to the phone lines. Here we got Jake in Brooklyn. Jake, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Do well, Jake.
I listened to the recording of the video, the show yesterday, and I really, truly want to commend you guys, like Dre did, on how you handled Charlie and whoever else called about the O-line. It seems like it's one of those constant issues that fans continually rave about. I just want to say that it takes chemistry. It takes role-playing, and it takes a lot of skill to play that position. I played football in Brooklyn from Pop Warner to high school. And I, like Anita said, I can tell you I hated playing in the weather. From September on to November, I dreaded waking up on a Saturday morning to go training or Friday night to play ball. So I understand the need that players don't want to come to New York. And we're not going to have all-stars at all five positions on the line. You're going to have a combination of veteran, young, a combination of pro and role players, and it just has to gel. That's all it is. It has to gel. They're going to take whatever they learned from last year, apply it to this year, and it's going to get better. So West Coast offense, the ball's going to come out a lot faster than in Gilbride's offense, where you need to block and protect for at least 2 to 3 seconds. The ball's going to come out a lot faster than that. I think we're going to be okay. Charlie needs to calm down, take the meds, relax. And I just want to tell you guys, you guys are doing a great job, man.
I appreciate that, Jay. Thanks so much for weighing in. And Charlie's phone call from yesterday apparently still creating some drama and reaction across social media. I've been getting tweets even well after yesterday's show about people who heard his phone call. So, Charlie, if you're listening, you should be happy.
Charlie ruffles feathers.
He does. He has a knack and a talent for doing that. You have to give him a tremendous amount of credit for that. There are certain people that know how to twist and turn and manipulate the storylines. And Charlie, certainly, I tip my cap to you from that regard. I'm sure we'll be hearing from Charlie in some type of venue in the near future. In the meantime, Carl is in Arizona. Carl, what's happening?
Lance, Anita, good to talk to you guys. First time caller, long time listener. It's great to be able to have the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Well, thanks for making the call. Appreciate
it. Welcome.
Yeah, no, you know, I get to drive home and listen to the broadcast post live. So a lot of times I'm fuming in the car, banging my head, but I want to make a prediction for the year here.
Okay.
Let me just start by saying that I'm not in the Charlie camp in terms of how bad the offensive line could be, and this is why. I think that the answer might be also the tight end. Here's my prediction. Larry Donnell, Leaping Larry, will not make the roster this year. I think that besides the fact that, you know, he may have some injury issues that might linger coming into camp and all that stuff, I don't think he has the wherewithal to be that nasty blocking tight end that we need to help support the strong side of the line. I think these other guys that are in camp are stronger. They're more tough, tenacious, and willingness to do the dirty work that's needed in the tight end position, along with catching passes and being another outlet for Eli Manning. What's your take on that, Lance?
Well, Jarrell Adams specifically, from what I've seen during OTAs, Carl, they've been using him on the line. I mean, he is a big presence. It's no surprise, and he likes blocking, and he certainly loves playing special teams. That's pretty much the scouting report on him. So there's been a glimpse of that. Donnell, he has to certainly prove, number one, he could stay healthy. That's the one question mark with him. And number two, that, you know, as you just alluded to, he can become more of a well-balanced tight end who can't just go out and run routes and make catches, but can also provide the blocking, the other element of a tight end. I think that it's a wide-open battle right now. I don't really think there's any front runner. If I were to tell you right now, you know, who's the number one guy, Will Tye's been working with the number one team as well, and he's coming off a very productive season. And Matt Lacoste, as I mentioned, has certainly stood out in OTAs thus far. So Donnell's going to have to battle.
I will say this. I'll be shocked if Larry Donnell isn't on this roster.
Well, I think you can make a case for everybody on this team right now, all those tight ends, specifically those four I named. You can make a case for them to make the team.
I think you can. First of all, how many tight ends do you think they carry at the end of the day?
Well, I think they could probably keep three.
Yeah, okay. And so Donnell, Tye, and Adams.
Those would make the most sense to be the three front runners.
Right.
Barring injuries or anything else that develops. Yeah.
I think Lacoste could be a better target downfield, too. I think he's got a better field presence. Just seeing what we're seeing, I mean, I know there's not a lot of evidence out on the field yet, but the kid did great last year. I think he's coming in year hungry. I think Donnell's on the bottom looking up.
So that's who you have. You have Lacoste trumping.
No, actually, you know where I'm going to go with this, Nina? I'm going to say it's going to be Tye. I think it's going to be the new draft pick.
Well, I mean, it has to be. This organization's not going to cut a guy that they just drafted.
No, but they could put a guy in the practice
squad.
That's not necessarily a stretch.
The halfback option they signed from Pittsburgh. I'm blanking on
Will
the name
Johnson,
right
you're
now.
Talking about.
Yeah, but he said not make the team. If you're on the practice squad, you still make the
team.
Well,
I think...
I mean playing Sundays.
Correct. Yeah, he's talking about the 53-man roster, Carl. If you make the practice squad, that's technically not making the team.
Well,
he's talking about the 53-man
roster. I thought you meant cut.
I think we're talking about the guys we think are going to be on the 53. There's a chance that one of those names that we've mentioned could very well go on the practice squad.
Right.
I mean, you have an opportunity to then be called up, you're technically not on the 53.
I think that's Lacoste. I don't think that's Larry Donnell. And of course, as you said, as long as he stays healthy. Obviously, he's had some serious issues with the neck. So he stays healthy.
Go ahead, Carl.
Jumps in the air, he lands on his head. You know, I just don't think that he's going to – I don't think he has what it takes to make it. I can't wait to see it. I wish if I can get my name on the board, Lance, like John puts it there.
August,
you know what I mean? And I could say, see, I finally got something right with this team.
Well, we'll put you down on the board.
You guys have a great day. I'll take the rest of this off air.
All right. Got it.
Sounds good, Carl. Appreciate the phone call. Listen, Carl, I will appease to you. I will write down that you predicted – that Larry Donnell is not going to make the 53-man roster. And we'll give you the date here, June 1st. Donnell, not on 53. Bold predictions.
Beautiful.
We got room for you, Carl. Appreciate the phone
thank
call.
You, sir.
Don't be shy.
Thank you.
You got to call in again, and I'm going to rip it off here so he can prove that this exists, and we're going to add him onto the board here. All right, so Carl, you're well documented. We will catch up with that a little bit later on, once the 53-man roster is finalized. But the tight end position, to me, is an interesting subject, and we talked about it a lot so far this offseason, but there's competition there. There's a number of guys who have seen time on the field with the Giants. Lacoste has been up and down on the roster. What's intriguing to me about Lacoste, if you're looking at it from Carl's point of view, where, okay, you want to improve run blocking, you want to look for other options to help out your offensive line. The way you do that is the fullback and the tight end. When the running game improved late last season, I think this constantly gets overlooked. Whitlock was used more and more as a fullback in the last few games. Well documented, go back to the film. That was a contributing factor why the running game picked up. That's something that I think they can utilize with respect to blocking. The other factor is the tight end position. Will Johnson, who came over from the Steelers, has been used in a million different positions. He's versatile. Matt Lacoste, if you go back to how he was utilized in college, he was a tight end, he was an H-back. You know, that's a guy I think they can also experiment as a tight end / fullback if they want it. How they can utilize the tight ends is going to dictate who's going to make this 53-man roster and who's not, especially if they're looking at it through the lens of how can our tight ends help blocking. Those are the guys that are going to be given the edge. Whereas Donnell, who has primarily been used as a receiver, you know, he's going to have to show that area of his game and whether or not he can build upon that.
Yes, but I think you and I talked about this not too long ago, and that is really towards the end of the season, the last few games, you saw what you just alluded to, that you had Ben McAdoo who utilized the running backs for mass protect and released the tight ends. And that's where you saw Will Tye kind of get a lot of his yards and his receptions and his touchdowns. The chemistry between him and Eli Manning really grew towards the end of the season, and he was used more as a receiving tight end and being released as opposed to staying home and helping the offensive line. So, I find it interesting. The all-around, all-together tight end rarely exists anymore in college football. And therefore, it's really, really hard to find in the NFL a tight end who could come in and do it all, like a Jason Witten, for example. You know what I mean? Who's a solid blocker, also, you know, runs good routes, has great chemistry with Tony Romo, and can be a receiving tight end. Like that all-around tight end, I think they're very few and far between anymore. So, you know, you've got to have a lot of versatility on your roster depending on what scheme you play, you know, on what series. I'm sure there'll be some series. Giants are up by, you know, 10, 14 points. Well, then you're going to want your blocking tight end to come in, and you're just going to want to run the ball and eat time off the clock. Giants are down by 14 points. Maybe that's the time that you have Will Tye come in and you use that max protect out of the backfield and you release him and you have him be part of the passing attack. I mean, you know, it's great that there's so much versatility. This battle will be interesting though.
Well, that's why a lot of teams also use double tight end formations. They have one guy that they hold back to block and then another guy to run routes. Haven't necessarily seen that much with respect to the Giants. If Will Johnson though wins the fullback battle, I could see them technically having four tight ends on the roster because Johnson could be your fullback tight end, and then you could keep three more. So there is a way where the Giants could very well have four tight ends. That's depending on what happens with the fullback position. Way too early to tell who's got the edge with respect to Will Johnson and Whitlock, but Johnson has experience as a tight end, so by default, that's an additional tight end on your roster. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. We're going to get to your tweets as well. Just make sure you use hashtag Giants Chat or you send it in to us individually, directly, so this way we can see some of the questions that everybody is throwing out here, and we'll certainly get to a number of your suggestions and comments on Twitter as we move along. But in the meantime, let's head back to the phone lines, and this is what happens when you bring up Charlie's name way too often. He winds up actually following our advice, and he calls in, unfortunately. So the honor to have him on back-to-back programs. Charlie, how are we doing?
Back-to-back. Hey, yes. Anita.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Lance. I'm doing good.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, I think Donnell is going to be on the team, and we've got seems like we got four or five tight ends, and there's a couple of teams that need a tight end. I think Detroit just lost a tight end on IR. I think we could do a trade with one of our tight ends.
And let me guess what you want in return. Yeah. Let me guess what you want in return. Can I guess what you want in return?
A good offensive lineman.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Charlie.
And because we've got because Johnson, I think, is going to end up. The thing is, whoever's going to stay on the team is going to be somebody who can block and receive, be a receiver. I think I think Donnell is. We're selling him short. He played really well. He just needed to get better in blocking. So I'm not counting this guy out. He saw that his career was almost taken away from him, and just like JPP's was. And I think this guy is going to really have a change of attitude. He's going to really ball out. He's going to really try to block, you know, as long as, you know, the next thing doesn't come back to bite him. But I would trade Ty. I would trade him. I think he would probably maybe get the best somebody in return for him. So that's what I would do, and then you'd still have Donnell, you'd have the rookie, you'd have Lacrosse, you'd have Johnson. I think we'd still be really fine at tight end. So that's what I would do. And if I was GM for a day, and since JR was only a GM for a day, he woke up the first day of free agency and then he fell asleep. So if I was GM for the day, I would bring in Hardy, I'd bring in Jordan, and just really solidify our D-line rotation. I think Hardy is, he's getting some mental reps with some therapy, and hopefully he's getting his head screwed on straight. And I think with JPP here and the guys that we have, I think he would probably definitely straighten out. One-year contract, if he screws up, gone, guarantee him $500,000 or whatever, and bring him in.
Well,
and,
Charlie, I don't think from a PR perspective the Giants would want to deal with that. And number two, if you look at their recent track record, they don't give guys like that chances. It's just, I'm going by track record here. I never say never, but I just realistically don't see that happening.
Well, I think if, I actually sent a tweet to JTP, and I told him, I asked him to reach out to Hardy, see where his head's at.
Did he respond?
He hasn't responded.
He hasn't responded. Let me make sure I speak to him about that. Yeah.
Would you please?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be my honest pleasure.
Because what I said to him was, everyone deserves a second chance. I think he'd really respect you for what you've been through and what you're trying to do. And I think if you reached out to him and just find out where he's at, and if you felt like, hey, this dude really wants to play and he's changed, then talk to JR and bring him in. So I don't know. I just think we should be open to a lot of different scenarios and different players and not count all these people out. And there's another guy hanging out there after week 8 that if our safety position is totally in shambles with rookies and people who have never played, there's a guy called Will Hill who will be coming back after the 8th week. I would take a shot at him. I would just for safety reasons. You could give him a contract that is really inexpensive for 8 games, and every time he comes back from the suspension, he's clean. after the suspension.
Look, Charlie, but keep in mind, the Giants gave him a lot of opportunities when he was here.
Charlie.
A lot of opportunities.
Oh. I know. Come on. Look, I'm telling you, I'm just saying if I was GM for a day, these are the kind of deals I do. And Deion Jordan is another guy who's a freak.
Charlie, do you know, by the way, that when you preface your comment that if I was GM for a day, the entire listening audience just took a towel, wiped their brow, and said, thank goodness, and said a prayer on your behalf? I just want you to be aware of that.
A few things. Charlie, you know, number one, Will Hill was given every opportunity and just could not stay clean. So I don't see him returning. And number two, you know, your comments about Greg Hardy, I really hope that this man gets his life straight. But you've got a really great locker room right now. You've got a lot of excitement surrounding this
That's
team.
That's why you've can got, bring him in,
just
you
listen,
have a great
listen
locker
to, Listen to me, Charlie. You've got a great locker room. You've got a lot of excitement about the new coaching staff. You've got a lot of excitement about the new players, about this season. Why are you going to bring in a cancer? Why are you even going to
You won't bring in a cancer. If he's a cancer, you won't bring him in. What I'm saying is you reach out, find out where he's at, see what's going on with him, and maybe this dude is starting to change and give him a second chance. That's all I'm saying. If he's still an idiot, then yeah, you don't bring him in, but you reach out. You become proactive. You reach out for players. You find out what's going on. And J.R. doesn't do that.
I think it's too much of a risk.
Well, on the flip side, though, Charlie, you know, look at it from the other option here. I think that with some young guys in the mix, for the long-term viability of your roster, it's also important to develop those guys as opposed to bringing in what you're always campaigning for is bring in a veteran who's maybe a little bit more polished, give him a one-year deal. All he's going to do is he's going to take reps away from the second-round pick or the third-round pick. I'm using a hypothetical that you brought in maybe 2 or 3 years ago that you'd like to continue to develop. So I think it's much better for your overall roster, develop the young guy, give him reps, see what you have there, as opposed to just borrow somebody for a year who probably is not going to be on the roster for more than 16 games.
But he's only 26 or 27 years old. We're not talking about a vet in his 30, 31, or like Freeney, who's 36. I mean, Hardy is a young guy.
I understand that, but
turn his life around.
Well, but you also need to consider the baggage and whether or not, as Anita mentioned, you want to disrupt some of the chemistry that you have in the locker room. Remember, this is a transitional locker room, Charlie. Let's not forget they've lost a number of key leaders over the last few years.
That's right.
So, you know, you're right now still trying to gain the identity of the locker room. I'm not saying it's fragile, and I'm not saying there's issues in the locker room, but you bring in somebody like that with baggage, it may not be the ideal circumstance to do that.
Here's a tweet for you, Charlie. This is from Let's Go Giants. He says, I sent a tweet to John Wayne Gacy and Jack the Ripper, just trying to beef up the defensive line. That about sums up your comments.
You're not giving
today,
this
Charlie.
Guy a second chance. I mean, the thing is,
Charlie,
sometimes
you should be thankful. Charlie, you should be thankful that we give you a second chance on this program. How about that? Let's start with that. And listen, it's always a blast, Charlie.
Right.
We appreciate the phone call.
All right. Hey, you notice I didn't talk about the O-line?
No, listen, you're learning. You're growing up in front of our very own ears,
but
I should
I
say.
But I will next
It's not
time
necessarily
I
our eyes. Yes.
See
well,
you guys.
We'll give you
Thanks.
Time, Charlie. For one day, you get a check mark, a brownie point. He well-behaved on June 1st at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. He didn't bring up the offensive line. I tip my cap
put it on
to
the
Charlie.
Board.
Yes. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate the phone call. With that being said, I think I may need to clean myself off. Hashtag Giants chat, 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the phone lines. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Len. How's things with you?
Len, I haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
good. You know, here's my frustration this morning. A couple of them. I really have three things, but they're all relatively quick. How long have we been looking for a blocking tight end? Every June, I mean, every March, every August, we're looking for blocking tight ends. I mean, can you put a time frame on it, guys?
Well, but Len, that's not necessarily true. I mean, like, Daniel Fells was on the roster. He was a blocking tight end, unless you're referring to, like, the overall versatile tight end.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just seems like every year we're looking for somebody who's a blocking tight end. Now, you know what? Maybe it's not that important. Let's just go on with our lives and not worry about blocking tight ends. But worrying about blocking tight ends seemed to be something that was during Tom's era, okay? And the last 3 years, we went 7-9, 6-10, 6-10.
You know what, Charlie? I don't think this is a Giants issue. I think this is a league-wide issue, as I stated earlier.
Could be.
As I stated earlier, you just, you know, the tight ends that they're developing in high school and into college, they're all really, I mean, they're coming from spread offenses, and they're all more receiving tight ends. They're not getting the tutelage. They're not getting the skill set to come into the NFL as blocking tight ends who are athletic enough to be great receivers in the passing attack. So, you know.
Anita, the reason for that is if you said to a four-star, a three-star, a four-star, a five-star recruit, let's even go that high, who is a tight end in high school, and the college coach says to him, we want you to block first. They're not going to that school, Anita. They're going to another school. It's tough to get them at the major college level. You almost have to go to Division III. I mean, or backup tight ends. You got to go to Matt Lacoste, who didn't start at Illinois, who's a backup tight end. Okay? Or you got to go to Ty, or even James Cunningham, who came from small schools. That's where you find these guys who might want to try to be a blocking tight end. It just seems like we overemphasize that blocking tight end thing. That I don't know. All right, second thing, I said this last week, I want to talk about the offensive line. By the way, Anita, you called me Charlie. Thank you. I appreciate that. to be in that lofty position.
You should be honored, Len. You should be honored.
I thought I said Lynn.
No, well, you did at the beginning, but then when you commented on the tight end thing, you said Charlie.
Well, Len, keep in mind, the reason why she may have had a slip of the tongue in culture Charlie is because you just said you wanted to talk about the offensive line. So anybody who calls in and talks about the offensive line is automatically going to be in the association of Charlie. I'm just warning you.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right, listen, real quick on, you know, my take on the offensive line. Somewhat repetitive, you know, from last week, but look, we got six guys who can play in the NFL. If, you know, bringing in an all-pro offensive right tackle today, which is going to be tough, and Lance, you alluded to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be difficult to find anybody who's better than what we have at this point in the season, unless you make a trade. I mean, even if somebody gets released. Remember, you start going through those rotations. There are eight teams in front of us who have first shot at those guys. Right? I mean, aren't we into the rotation now? Somebody gets cut.
You're talking about the waiver wire and so forth. There's a lot of factors that you have to consider. Yeah, it doesn't just automatically work where a guy gets cut and then he comes.
It's not automatically walking to us. There's eight teams in front of us. If the guy's any good, we know why those eight teams are in front of us, and not as good as we are.
But they need offensive tackles too.
So it's going to be hard to find an offensive tackle at this point. It's going to be difficult. But even if we get one, I mean, it doesn't mean that Newhouse and John Jerry are going to be off this team. These guys are going to be on the 53-man roster. Now, they may not start if suddenly we get lucky and we bring in another tackle who's better than them. But Newhouse and Jerry are going to be on this team on September 11th when we open the season in Dallas. I mean, they're NFL players, and we got six of them. I'm a little worried about the depth behind that, but so is everybody else in the league. So is everybody else. I mean, this is a position that there's really a weakness. When you start getting to 7, 8, and 9 on your team, I mean, Dallas wants to hang on to the sixth guy, okay? But once you get past that sixth guy, and even with the best offensive lines, 7, 8, 9, I mean, you know, throw them in a hat and pick them out.
Len, look at the New England Patriots last season. How many offensive linemen did they go through? They went through their 7th, 8th, and 9th. And look at what happened. Yep. Protection broke down. Yep. Running game struggled. Every team deals with similar issues.
When you're talking about getting to that type of depth. Especially when you need to start looking at the depth. I mean, you know, I'm not making a case for Newhouse and Jerry other than the fact that I'm confident they're going to be on this roster. Now, they may not be starters come September 11, but they're going to be on this roster. Listen, yesterday, you know, great show yesterday with the idea of throwing out some numbers. Just my starting point on the numbers, Lance, I think you were the one who was talking the most about this, but time of possession. I'm not a Chip Kelly guy. I don't want the opposition to ever have the ball. I want the Giants to have the ball for 60 minutes I always look at time of possession. Our time of possession last year was really not very good. It was well below 30 minutes, well below the break, you know, the break-even point. Other teams were, we're getting the ball over 31 minutes. We were holding it, I think, 28. I don't know, Lance, if you haven't.
I'm going to look it up just to give you a specific. I think it was around that ballpark line,
but I think,
if memory serves me correct.
I think a big reason for that was very, very hard for the Giants to convert on third down last year.
Oh, they were bottom of the league in third down efficiency.
So that had a big factor, Charlie.
Right, and I think this move in the offseason to defensive players is going to make a big difference. We're going to clean the field more often. We're going to be getting the offense out onto the field more often. We're going to make some stops.
Did I just call Charlie again? I think I did. Lynn, this...
That's what happens.
Lynn, another thing that I think is going to be key here is on third down, it was like everybody knew what Eli was going to do in order to try to convert, and that is to throw a quick slant or a quick out route to Odell Beckham Jr. This year with Sterling Shepard as a part of this offense, I think Sterling Shepard is going to help this team big time in regard to the fact of how quickly he gets off the line, his strength, his power, also the amount of space that he does create. I think that's going to help Eli. I think that's going to help this team a lot in regard to third down conversions this season.
Len,
go ahead, Lance.
No, I was just going to say, I just looked it up. The Giants were 28 minutes, 29 seconds, so that put them 27th in the NFL last year.
27th, you said?
27th, correct.
Yeah, wow. Obviously not good enough. I mean, we got to keep the ball longer.
Well, Len, here's another interesting trend, which I think it's good that you brought up this point. I'm just looking at the teams that ranked at the bottom of the league last year. The Eagles were dead last. They didn't make the playoffs. Niners second to last, didn't make the playoffs. Dolphins third last, didn't make the playoffs. Jaguars in front of them, didn't make it. St. Louis in front of them, didn't make it. Giants didn't make it. Tampa Bay didn't make it. Oakland didn't make it. Tennessee didn't make it. Pittsburgh made it. Pittsburgh was the lowest team. They were just below 30, 29-43 at 23rd overall in the NFL. 24 through 32 did not make the playoffs.
You know, I hate to see the Giants on that list, but when you look through that list who were behind Pittsburgh, those are some bad football teams, Lance. Those were some bad football teams.
Well, but you know what was a common theme between all those teams? Defensive struggles. And that's what I think you touched on, Len, when your defense is constantly on the field because they're not making stops, then, of course, your time of possession is not going to be high. I mean, that goes hand in hand.
Yeah. And moving to the offense, you know, if you look at our first downs, I think we were just under 21 first downs per game. I was like 20.8, if I remember correctly. If we can just get, one more first down, two more first downs a game, then the possession is well over 30. And we're moving at the field position, some of the things that you talked about. I mean, if we have to punt, I'd rather punt from our 40 than punt from our 20.
Well,
I mean, those extra first downs can give us field position, and with that defense, you know, then we're forcing the other team to punt from the 20 instead of from the 40.
Well, Len, and that gets back to running the football, because when you run the football, think about the third and ones, the third and twos, the fourth and ones that the Giants faced throughout last season, and, you know, unfortunately couldn't punch it through. Hey, that's an extra set of downs all of a sudden. Yeah. That adds up to your extra 2 or 3 minutes that you're looking for.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. It may come down to the key element of this is the run game. Just one other thing on the offensive side, and we talked about, you know, how are we going to get more out of Shane Vereen. You know, here I go with the number again. I think the offensive backs on the Giants last year caught 92 balls. I don't know how many times you can throw to the running backs and take the ball away from Shepard, from Cruz. Yeah, you don't want to take it away from Beckham. You want the ball in his hand as much as possible. But, you know, it's hard to see them getting that. So it may be the running game. It may be the running game. We're really going to have to get those extra first downs, get into field position. You know, we're scoring 6 times a game instead of 5 times a game, you know, that kind of thing. And we're closer to 30 points, and we're in the top half. We're above Pittsburgh. And we go to the playoffs. It's as simple as that, Lance. Well, you guys have a great day.
All right, Len.
You guys have a great day.
You got it. Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Phone call. Remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your contest. Pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com. Enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play.
Here's a tweet from Juan. He says, I believe a dependable, strong tight end will improve our third down efficiency as well. I agree with that.
It always helps for blocking in terms of the run as well as a receiving option. That can't hurt. In terms of some other tweets here, let's take a look before we get back to the phone calls. I know a number of people weighing in on social media about some of the topics that we have been throwing out. Steve in D.C., who calls in a lot in New Bro 1. We don't need more receivers to convert nearly as much as we need to be able to run the ball, related to the conversation we just had with Len. You run the ball, you get first downs, time of possession goes up. I would certainly agree with that sentiment there. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we want to hear from Brandon in New York. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, how we doing?
Doing well, Brandon.
Just had a couple things, and then you guys can just comment on them. One, I'm thrilled that Bobby Hart shredded down to 315, which is a perfect weight for tackle and guard. I want to talk – we had three playmaking liabilities on our team last year. We got rid of two of them, Moore and Randall. We still have one more on our team, which is Donnell. And I'm thinking he's not going to end up making the team this year because of our rookie and because of Will Ty and Lacoste being able to block as well. So as far as Len said, I think we actually have three good blocking tight ends on our team and also one that's improving as well.
Well, here's one thing I just want to throw out. I didn't mean to cut you off, Brandon. I'll let you continue because you're like the second caller today, I believe, that's brought
Carl.
Up. Yeah, the Larry Donnell situation. Carl, we already put up on the wall that he didn't think he was going to make the 53. The other thing is, because, you know, we're talking about longevity, how long guys were in the league. Donnell was mainly a quarterback in college. So he has made the transition to tight end since he joined the Giants. If you look at his resume, still a very small period of time in which he's played tight end. So you can understand why perhaps he's not necessarily viewed as perhaps as strong of a blocker as some of these other players that are on the roster who have the background of being asked to block in college. That's why he's much more comfortable catching the ball, receiving it. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you're saying, all right, well, it's going to take him six or seven more years to become a blocker. But I think when you take into consideration and put things in perspective, his resume, he was mainly a quarterback in college. So it's only been a few years since he's actually played tight end. And plus, you take into consideration the injury, a few years in which he's also been healthy to do that.
Well, what about the liability factor with him?
In terms of ball security?
Fumbling and
Brandon, that goes back to what I'm talking about, the limited time in which he's been a tight end. He doesn't have some of the nuances and facets that other tight ends are able to showcase in terms of just normal day-to-day routine. He's still trying to learn that. That's why there's upside with Larry Donnell, but you're right, he has to clean up some of the casual things that tend to happen on the football field that may lead to fumbles and costly plays.
Yeah, because I really do think two of these fullbacks are going to end up making the team over him because he still has that liability. But we'll see about that. As far as Nassib, you know, I really expected when we drafted him, I really thought that we were going to be able – I want to get your opinion to see if we're able to actually keep him as our backup in the future because I was under the impression that, you know, we'd be able to keep him. That's why we drafted him, to be Eli's backup until when Eli wanted to retire.
I know
he's going to be up in age, but I'm just sort of disappointed now hearing, he's not even going to be on our team possibly next year.
But Brandon, if you're Nassib and you have the skill set to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, why are you going to sit behind Eli Manning for another 3 to 5 years? Would you do that?
I wouldn't, but then the factor is sort of like, why do you draft him then?
Because
if you can't keep him past 4 years, and Eli
because
doesn't get hurt.
As a fun exercise today, when you have a moment, go on a site and look at all 32 teams and look at their backup quarterbacks. And I guarantee you that only a third of the backup quarterbacks in the NFL can come in if the starting quarterback goes down and won't miss a beat and will help that team win some football games. And that's what Nassib is going to do for this team this year. There are some hefty expectations for this team this year. And God forbid something happens to Eli Manning, Nassib can step in, and Nassib can win some football games for this team until Eli's ready to take the reins again. So that's why he's here, and that's why this team is invested in him. But at the same time, it's Eli Manning. The Giants just re-upped him. He's going to be here for the next 3 to 5 years. Nassib wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, and everything that I'm hearing, coaches I speak to, scouts I speak to, feel that Nassib has an opportunity to go somewhere, compete, and be a starting 32. So I totally expect that to happen. But this year,
yeah,
this chance, this opportunity for this team to make a run and to have and to be one of the one-third team in the NFL, teams in the NFL, to have that backup quarterback that, God forbid, if anything happens, he can step in and this team won't miss a beat. God bless. God bless that the Giants have that this season.
Brandon, I think it's – no, I was just going to say, I think it's too early to tell what the market's going to be like for Ryan Nassib. At this point, he's the backup quarterback. To make assumptions that he's definitely not going to be here next season once his contract expires, I mean, we're June 1st, 2016. Who knows what the quarterback scenarios are going to be like for the rest of the league, and who knows what type of opportunities he will have. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say there's no chance he's going to return as the backup when you're starting to speculate.
Why would you return as a backup if you have an opportunity to go compete?
But once again, that's assuming that that opportunity presents itself.
It will.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion, though. That's all I'm saying. We don't know until his agent and everybody else explores the market. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't necessarily say 100% certainty there's no chance he returns to the Giants. There's been, for example, David Carr. I understand he's a veteran. Carr could have went elsewhere and competed for a starting job, and you know what? He determined he wanted to stay as Eli Manning's backup.
Nobody wanted Carr after the shell shock he got in Houston.
I think, no way. Well, that was the offensive line, though. He had no offensive line in Houston.
I understand, but because of that situation, he was ruined for the rest of his career. I mean, he is mentally shell shocked from his experience in Houston. That's why he never amounted to anything more than a backup quarterback. There are some hefty expectations for Ryan Nassib. I mean, I had a conversation with Ben McAdoo. I straight up asked him. I said, "What are your thoughts on Ryan Nassib? Do you feel he's worthy of being a top 32?" And Ben McAdoo said to me, "In all the quarterbacks that I've coached, I've never coached a quarterback that's more prepared heading into a Sunday game than Ryan Nassib. I have no doubt he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL." So with that being said, I think it's safe to assume, I know we're assuming, I think it's safe to assume that he's going to try to be a starting quarterback. And you know what? I don't have a problem.
He should want to be a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think that's a crime. I just said that we don't know, though, what the market's going to be like. And remember, there's going to be a crop of rookie quarterbacks coming in next year that teams are going to draft, which is much more impressive than the group from this year. You don't know what's going to happen with trades. A lot could happen.
You don't want to bring in a quarterback that has had the tutelage of playing beneath Eli Manning and all that he's been able to learn from Eli Manning? Over a rookie that, let's face it, every time a rookie comes in the NFL, it's kind of a crapshoot. It's not like every year that an Andrew Luck comes out, that's for sure.
Absolutely, but I think the trend is that there are teams that if they get a high draft pick, they're going to probably try to take a quarterback, like we saw this year with teams moving up, the Eagles and the Rams and so forth. So you always have to at least take into consideration that young group of quarterbacks that comes in that's going to provide competition for the backups that are currently in the league.
If Matt Flynn was given an opportunity to go, and not once, not twice, but at least three times, to go compete for a starting job, hands down, Nassib will. I mean, that was...
I'm not ruling out. I'm just saying that to me right now, it's way too early to say for sure that there's no chance the Giants could keep him. That's all. I mean, I think if they start to
I'm sure the Giants would love to keep him.
And he may be sold on whatever their game plan is with Eli Manning moving forward. I don't know what those conversations are like. And I'm not saying that they have a specific time that, hey, this is going to be Manning's last season. Stick around. We view you as the guy for the future. I don't know if those conversations have happened. He may find that appealing if they can give him some definitive timetable. Sometimes a quarterback is comfortable where they are, as opposed to if you know that they're going to give you a legitimate shot to be Eli Manning's successor, as opposed to go to the unknown
and
compete.
And have to wait another 3 to 5 years.
I'm just saying, I don't know what his mindset is. I don't know where Nassib is, but there is an appeal to perhaps be Eli Manning's successor.
Because keep in mind, I mean, you know, the longer you're the backup, you know, those are quality years. Those are quality years that his talent is sitting on the bench. Anyway, well, I mean, only time will tell.
Yeah.
Only time will tell. But at the end of the day, in regard to your phone call, the positive here is that again, there's only a handful of teams in the NFL that if their starting quarterback goes down, their backup can come in, and that team won't miss a beat, and the Giants are one of them. And that's because Jerry Reese drafting Nassib. That's because Nassib played the system at Syracuse. That's because he feels very comfortable in the system with Ben McAdoo. It's because he's been coached extremely well, and it's because he's been really just learning and being the student of one Eli Manning. And it's all come together for him. And so that's the positive for Giants fans to know this year.
All right, Brandon.
I just think they should do either the two things. I believe he can be a top 32. I think they should either play him throughout the entire preseason, get his touches, and then either say, let's get something for this guy, or let's pay him as the second highest backup quarterback in the NFL, and let's try to keep him.
Brandon, let me just throw out a response to that, and you're not the first person that said about, you know, if you don't think he's going to be Eli Manning's successor, trade him. Don't you think, though, okay, the Rams, the Eagles, who gave up so much to move up, to try to grab Goff and Wentz, don't you think, though, if they really valued Ryan Nassib, that they would have made a move for him instead of maybe giving up everything but the kitchen sink to move up to 1 and 2, respectively? I mean, isn't that reasonable to say? But I could say the same thing about Goff and Wentz are just as big of a risk, because you don't know if the college talent's going to translate to the NFL. With Nassib, you know somebody that at least understands the jargon and language of the NFL. So I don't know if you play him for 3 or more preseason games, is what I'm saying, Brandon. His stock is going to exponentially go up, that all of a sudden you're going to get wowed with a trade offer. That's what I'm throwing out there.
All right. And, I guess that's all I really had. Other than that, I'm so high on this draft class. I think by the end of the season, if not 100% next year, they all, six of them, the 3, 4, and 6, will be starting as well on this team. So I think that's great news for Giants Nation as well. And I'm not worried about our right side of our line like everyone else is. Bobby Hart's going to be just fine. We have backups. His feet's going to be moving a lot faster this year, and we're going to be all set. We got 6, 7 good offensive linemen. So, and you guys have a great day.
All right, Brett. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. Let's head back to the lines. We got T in Maryland. T, what's happening?
See, I was having a good day again, and then Charlie called.
Well, that's life. That's our goal, T. We want you to be having your ruffled feathers. That's Charlie's mission in life, is to ruffle feathers.
And he did a good job. And this is the thing. And he said that he didn't mention the O-line. What did he say? He would trade who to get what? What did he say?
He said he'd trade a tight end to get an offensive lineman. Yeah.
Okay. Charlie, I hope you're listening, buddy, and I hope you're going to your herbal garden. And while you're there, I want you to take a walk and think about this. Last year, the Giants tight ends combined caught over 85 or 81 catches. 81 combined. The running backs, Shane Vereen had a career high. A career high. And to what Lance said, oh, God, this is the second day in a row. You might want to write this down, Lance. I'm agreeing with you again.
Well, wait, hold on. It's the second day you said that. By the way, we're entitled to disagree. It's not the end of the world. It's okay. It's not a crime.
Yeah.
We're allowed to have different perspectives. No, I understand. I just the way you say it is if it's like, oh, my God, I agreed with Lance. I mean, it's okay. Disagree with me all you want. I'm not losing sleep over it. We're allowed.
No, you know, yeah. I say that if I agree with John all the time. I do that one.
I hear you.
I do that.
I got you. But I'm following.
Shane Vereen caught a career high last year. A career high.
Yep.
And when, like you said, Lance, when they put Nikita Whitlock and ran the fullback out the backfield and run in the running game, we started running the ball. Rashad Jennings had over 850 yards. Almost 1,000 yards, splitting time with 4 people. So I want everyone to relax. But what did Aaron Rodgers say? R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Let the competition play out. Let the tight end competition play out. Just like Anita said, competition is here. It's going to happen. The cream is going to rise to the top. I just tweeted it like 5 minutes ago. The cream is going to rise to the top. And everyone's going to see that all this panic on the right side of the line is all for naught. It's all for naught.
Well, it's all about competition, like you said. It's all about competition, T.
T, I'm with you. I don't think our roster in regard to the offensive linemen is complete. And I have faith. I have faith that there's going to be some some better talent that's going to come in and compete for this job. And I think we're worrying too soon. It's just, it's too early to worry. If we were like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks into training camp, yeah, then I'd really worry. But we're not.
Right. It's June the 1st.
Yes, exactly.
People having a heart attack. You got Charlie having a panic attack, taking Xanax. And, you know, Glenn having a panic attack. He's probably taking Xanax and can't sleep. I'm like, dude, it's June the 1st. Calm down. Relax.
We
just had OTAs.
T, in fairness, Charlie is like this 24/7 year round. So it really doesn't matter what date you point to on the calendar. He's got that track record. Say all you want. You can throw out June 1st all you want. I guarantee he'll sound the same August 1st, too. Makes no difference.
I know. It's funny, though, because you know what? I was like, okay, cool. I said, I'm driving. I said, all right, cool. I said, you know, I listened to Lance, who he has on today. Oh, Anita's on. Cool. I love talking, you know, seeing Anita. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm listening. Charlie calls. This is yesterday. I was like, I got to go on and refute this. Then I'm listening today. I was like, oh, maybe I started late. I said, maybe Charlie already called, so I don't have to hear him panic. And then as soon as I get on, who's on the line? Charlie. I was like, oh, man, I got to call in now.
All you have to do is just tweet me ahead of the show, and I'll let you know whether or not I have an inkling that Charlie's going to be on the lines. I'll give you the warning. That's all. Don't go through all the ads. I'll just tell you what I think. That's all.
I will. Hey, man, love you guys.
All right,
and I appreciate all you do. Anita, you're such a charming person. I moved to Baltimore, and everyone was talking about Anita Marks. I said, yeah, she works for the Giants. And everyone was like, no, she's a Baltimore girl. And I was like, okay, yeah, hold that one.
I still have a piece of Baltimore. I still have a piece of Baltimore.
Well, I tell you what, Anita, you come down, make sure you bring Lance and John, and crabs are on me.
All right, team.
You got it.
Appreciate the phone call.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You as well. Thanks so much for waiting.
So funny. So the last vacation of the summer before football season starts, of course, it's Labor Day weekend. I typically go down to like Ocean City, Dewey, Rehoboth, that whole like beach area. And like the Monday on my way back, I stop off and I have like, it's like my annual like crab feast.
Good seafood down there.
I've
been to Ocean City plenty of times. I love it down there.
But have you had Maryland crab?
Like, oh yeah, like, multiple times.
The whole like.
I've had
and
varieties.
You know how to peel them.
I've had my experience. You know how to get the meat
out, like get rid of the devil.
If you go to Maryland, you got to have crabs.
Right.
I mean, it is
a very special technique,
yes,
in regards,
absolutely,
to like how to get in there and get that meat.
There's been plenty of people over the years who have honed the craft of doing that.
And you can.
Yes. I am more than confident that I can handle my own with respect to that. But I also think that there's other seafood dishes that are worth having as well down there. I wouldn't necessarily limit myself to just Maryland crabs.
No, there's a lot of great food down there, but obviously, you know, that's what they're known for. Yeah.
That's the dish. There's no doubt about that. Let's close out the program with a few tweets here, and then we will wrap things up. I know a lot of people weighing in. At AJ Marshall 3, who we hear from all the time on the lines, Larry Donnell is going to make the 53-man roster regardless. He has experience. More experience than Ty Adams and Lacoste combined.
I will say this, Carl. I think the only reason that Donnell does not make the roster is that if this neck issue rears its ugly head again, no pun intended. I think barring health issues, I think that's the only way he doesn't make the 53. Just my opinion.
Well, he's fought extremely hard to just get back to this position after what he had to deal with all of last season. They're going to give him a legitimate shot to prove that he's back to 100% and he could go out there and solidify a roster spot. And also, when you look at, based on what AJ's tweet was, if you look at Donnell's production with the Giants, Ty's production with the Giants, and all the other tight ends, Adams and Lacoste, Adams has yet to play one rep with the Giants. Ty flashed a little last season. Donnell has the biggest resume in terms of,
right,
when he goes out there, you know at least what you're going to get, and he has the most chemistry with Eli Manning. So that can't be dismissed. It can't be overlooked. It's all about what have you done for me today, but I still think you need to take into consideration what happened in years past as well.
I like this tweet. This is from Purunga Salzar. Salzar? He says, I'm getting a Giants jersey with Charlie on the back.
You know, make me one. I may think about purchasing that too.
Oh.
I could definitely see myself sporting that. That'd be my first article of clothing I'd want to put on every day. Let's take a look at some more tweets. Feel free, Anita, to throw out a few more if you see. I know somebody asked about who has stood out as a cover linebacker. I can't find that tweet. I thought I saw it earlier in terms of, you know, maybe somebody that could drop back in coverage. I will say this. Today,
I think JT, like, out of everybody who's on this roster in regard to linebackers, you know, JT Thomas probably is the best linebacker on this roster in regard to true coverage.
I think Kennard I'd throw in there, too. I think he has the ability. But OTAs, I thought Thomas was very active today. Didn't necessarily make an interception or anything, but the way they were moving him around, I think that, you know, they can certainly look to bring him out towards the line, have him back. B.J. Goodson made an interception, but, you know, we still need to see more of him. He was known as a run guy at Clemson, not necessarily a guy that was going to drop back in coverage. So that's something to take into consideration. I'll take one more glance at the tweets here to see if anything else jumps out that we want to throw out. And certainly feel free to send in tweets when we're off the air. We'll be more than happy to interact with you on any Giants questions and news and so forth that you may have. I think that's pretty much everything. So with that being said, certainly appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Stay tuned. Ben McAdoo's press conference, all the player interviews will be put up on our website by the end of today. So anything you may have missed, you can catch up with that. And obviously Big Blue Kickoff Live will be with you tomorrow as well as Friday, the rest of the week starting at noon. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.